It is time for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. Marshall's the editor and publisher of the Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, let's talk about some really good news for the Vermilion, Lake Vermilion area, about a marina there. First, what's been happening with that marina for the last 20 years, and what's going to be happening in the future?
Well, this is a marina that has been run really not as a marina for the last 20 years or so. The owners had some different ideas for it. They really have not operated it as a viable business. It's been really just kind of falling into disrepair. And the problem with that is that this marina is in a key location. It is about less than a quarter mile downstream from the new harbor that's been created in Tower. And, of course, that harbor in downtown Tower connects the city to Lake Vermilion. Of course, that whole harbor development is part of, you know, trying to jumpstart economic development in terms of residential development, retail, other commercial-type enterprises. We're looking at getting a hotel as well. That's all part of that. And having a marina that is, you know, a going concern that's going to attract and keep traffic coming into town is a key part of that. So there's always been this huge interest in getting this marina in the right hands with a business model that was really going to be successful. And the company that has acquired this marina, this is just kind of breaking news here, it's a company known as Your Boat Club. It operates, it's from the Twin Cities, but they operate on 11 lakes right now. They have marinas on really premier lakes across Minnesota, and it's a club. You don't have to own a boat if you're a member of this club. You just buy a membership, and then you can go to any of these lakes and use their boats, which is kind of handy if you want to come up fishing for a day. You can use a fishing boat. You want to go out with friends on Sunday and party, you can get a pontoon boat. So it's handy. You don't have to be, you know, taking boats back and forth from various lakes. And so this club kind of takes care of that. The nice thing about it, too, is though it'll be open to the general public. It won't just be for club members. You know, so the general public will be able to buy gas there, which is something this marina has not had in many years. And they'll be able to store boats there. They'll be able to rent slips. They'll be able to get service. So there's lots of things that are going to be now offered at this marina that are currently not offered. So this is a huge development. This is going to help all of the other components of this overall development, I think, come together. So this was a big step. We've been really hoping to get this sold for the last several months. This boat club had been looking at it for a while, and they finally were able to sign a purchase agreement. And it does come with a contingency for 90 days. They have to do some due diligence before it closes, but you know, we're very hopeful that everything will fall into place, so this transfer of ownership will actually take place and this redevelopment will occur.
So what does it mean to the rest of the development there that's going on, would you say?
Well, the nice thing about it, I mean, just for example, this boat club has more than 1,000 members, and people come to, you know, they come for the weekend in most cases, or they might come for 3 or 4 days, and you know, if they're not from the area, they're going to need to stay. So this means that it makes it much more attractive to get a new hotel, which has always been part of the development goal for the harbor areas, to have a nice hotel. And there's a location that is sort of being eyed right now for a possible hotel that's practically right next to the marina. So it would be a very convenient place both for boat club members who wanted to have easy access to the marina, to their boat club, or just, you know, to other people who might maybe not be members of the club but might still be able to rent a boat for the day or a weekend at the marina. So this, you know, it's a nice combination of having a hotel and a marina right next to each other. Lots of opportunity for synergy between those two businesses.
All right, Marshall, let's move on to another story. Greenwood Township comes up yet again. What's happening there?
Well, this time it's not so much controversy as it is kind of an oops on the part of the township clerk. You know, lots of us, anyone who uses computers, has probably seen these messages come up on their computer that say, you know, they've been locked out. They're called phishing attacks. That's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. And it's commonly used by hackers who are trying to get malware onto your computer. so they can somehow get you to give them some money or steal your identity, something like that. And one of these messages came up on the township computer recently, and the clerk apparently was not familiar with those and kind of fell for it and downloaded what she thought was virus protection, which, of course, actually was malware, which made the computer inoperable. It had also provided some credit card information at the same time. They were able to, you know, cancel that, so they didn't actually incur any loss there. But the computer has been rendered inoperable, so they're going to have to get a new one. The clerk was definitely a little embarrassed about that. But otherwise, out in Greenwood, a lot of the controversies that we've been reporting on over the years, they're winding down, I think. It's definitely much calmer out there than it used to be. It used to be a source of real excitement, actually. Our Greenwood stories aren't quite as exciting these days.
That's Marshall Helmberger. It's the Border News Roundup. Let's move on to an update on the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management. They're going to be holding more public hearings. What are they about?
Well, basically, these hearings are part of the scoping process for a planned environmental impact statement that the Forest Service is going to be undertaking on that proposal to withdraw 234,000 acres of the Superior National Forest from the federal minerals leasing program. And the Obama administration had announced this withdrawal proposal back in January, but there had been hope by supporters of copper-nickel mining in northeastern Minnesota, particularly supporters of the Twin Metals Project, which is dependent on federal mineral leases, that the Trump administration would reverse that decision by President Obama. But in the end, the Trump administration has opted to just basically stay the course and to continue with that study. We had gotten a hint of that back in May when I think we had talked about this a couple of weeks ago when Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue had indicated in a congressional hearing that he intended to move forward with that study. But now, of course, this announcement by the Forest Service setting dates for hearings, that's the final confirmation, I think, that the study is going forward and that attempts to get this derailed have been unsuccessful.
Well, before we go, Marshall, give us an update. Minnesota Power has announced what they hope to be using of renewables by the year 2025, and it's pretty exciting, really.
Yeah, it is. You know, I've actually been impressed with Minnesota Power and their energy forward strategy. I mean, they've been very aggressive in the last several years in trying to increase their percentage of renewable energy part of their portfolio. And they've just announced that they've submitted a new proposal to add some additional wind, about 250 megawatts, actually, of additional wind power, an additional 10 megawatts of solar power, and 250 megawatts of combined cycle natural gas generation. And altogether, if this package is approved, Minnesota Power says that they will be producing 44% of their electrical power through renewable sources of energy by 2025. Now, just to give you an example, the state law was enacted several years ago, which gave utilities in Minnesota until 2025 to generate 25% of their electricity from renewable sources. So at 44%, if Minnesota Power is able to reach that goal, which they say they will, that's significantly more aggressive than what goals that the state has set. So, I mean, you got to give them credit for that. And basically, they've been able to do this by investing a lot in wind. They've also invested quite a bit in Canadian Hydro from Manitoba, and they're starting to get in more and more into solar as well, and then some biomass sources of energy as well. So it's a, you know, it's a pretty broad mix of energy sources there, but it's doing the job, that's for sure. And they're, you know, it also is consistent with the utilities' efforts to keep their power rates affordable and to maintain safe and reliable supply.
That is Marshall Helmberger, the Border News Roundup. You can find more information at his website for the Timberjay. It's timberjay.com. Marshall, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.
You know who that is?
No.
It's Alicia Keys.
Oh.
Yeah.